Actually, we have 6 modules, but we are going to start with the 6th module of this course. So the first 4 modules, it contains like a first 3 modules is like a Bhagavad Gita, part 1, part 2, part 3. And then after it will be like, we'll start with the Nectar of Devotion, then Envoy, and then Ishopanishad. But I thought that we'll start with the Ishopanishad. That will be far better, because that will show that how many of us will continue and how many will take it seriously also. So, that's okay? So, we'll grab one copy and we'll start it from the introduction. So, the introduction of this book is nothing but the lecture given by His Divine Grace in London. That was in 1969. And there he explains about teachings of Vedas. Generally, the Indian philosophy, you start with the introduction. Ladies and gentlemen, today's subject matter is the teachings of the Vedas. What are the Vedas? The Sanskrit verbal root of Veda can be interpreted variously, but the purport is finally one. Veda means knowledge. Any knowledge you accept is Veda. For the teachings of the Vedas are the original knowledge. So that should be underlined, that teachings of the Vedas is original knowledge. In the conditioned state, our knowledge is subjected to many deficiencies. The difference between a conditioned soul and a liberated soul is that the conditioned soul has 4 kinds of defects. The first defect is that he must commit mistakes. So this is what restricts us actually acquiring original knowledge. And that's why Prabhupada is explaining about the defects of conditioned souls. For example, in our country, Mahatma Gandhi was considered to be a very great personality. But he committed many mistakes. Even at the last stage of his life, his assistant warned Mahatma Gandhi, don't go to the New Delhi meeting. I have some friends and I have heard there is a danger. But he did not hear. Persisted in going and was killed. Even a great personality is like Mahatma Gandhi, President Kennedy. There are so many of them make mistakes. To error is human. This is one defect of the conditioned souls. Another defect, to be illusioned. Illusion means to accept something which is not. Maya. Maya means what is not. Everyone is accepting the body as the self. If I ask you what you are, you will say, I am Mr. John, I am Mr. Rich Man. I am this, I am that. All these are bodily identification. But you are not this body. This is illusion. So the biggest illusion of the material world is considering ourselves as a body. See the flow of whole lecture. The para by para you will come. How it is developing. How Prabhupada is going to the roots of the knowledge. The third effect is the cheating propensity. Everyone has the propensity to cheat others. Nobody is free from that. As long as you have this material body, you are prone to cheat others. We are Everyone has the propensity to cheat others. Although a person is fool number one, he poses himself as a very intelligent. Although it is already pointed out that he is in illusion and makes mistake, he will theorize, "I think this is this, this is this." But he does not even know his own position. He writes books of philosophy, although he is defective. That is his disease, that is cheating. And you can see there are so many people, almost in India you will find, any Tom, Dick, Harry gets up and he wanted to give his views on particular things. And that's why there are more than thousands commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. Popped up. Like a popcorns. Anybody he knows something about, he comes up with his commentary on them. And most of the people, to prove their views and ideas, they take Bhagavad Gita or any Upanishad as a basis. They think that's what can prove themselves. But as Prabhupada says here, he does not even know his own position. You know, there is one president of India, Sarvapalli Radhakrishnan.
Yes,
he also wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. But do you know how he died? Mati Brahma. Can you, Mati Brahma, he had that... Not memory, actually. He gone crazy at the end of life. And that fellow wrote a commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So, it's not that easy to understand the Vedic knowledge unless and until we are liberated. In our conditioned stage, if we try to play around with the great scriptures, then we are going to prove ourselves as a fool, nothing else. Because these wonderful qualities that we are possessing. Yeah? These four defects. Lastly, our senses are imperfect. We are very proud of our eyes. Often, someone will challenge us, "Can you show me God?" But do you have the eyes to see God? You will never see if you haven't the eyes. If immediately the room becomes dark, you cannot even see your hands. So what power do you have to see? We cannot therefore expect knowledge with these imperfect senses. Means original knowledge. With all these deficiencies in conditioned life, we cannot give perfect knowledge to anyone. Nor are we ourselves perfect. Therefore, we accept the Vedas as they are. So the question is, why we accept the Vedas as they are?
Because we have four kinds of defects.
What are they?
To commit mistakes, to be illusion, cheating propensity, and our senses are imperfect.
So these are the things that keeps us away from original knowledge. So, what restricts us that we have come to know now? What restricts us to get the pure knowledge? These four defects. You may call the Vedas Hindu, but Hindu is a foreign name. We are not Hindus. Our real identification is Varna Ashrama. See, here you can get the difference between other Hindu religious organizations and ISKCON. Most of the people, they consider even ISKCON also a part of Hindu religion. But Prabhupada clearly mentions here, our real identification is Varna Ashrama. It does not come under any sect. It is not at all sectarian. Varna Ashrama denotes the followers of Vedas. That we have to understand. So these are very essential things. We never discuss all these things. And most of the time when you, generally if you go for book distribution, people will ask you about this. What is your authenticity? Whether you're Hindus, Asian, or this, or that. But who we are? Originally, that's what Prabhupada says. Varnashrama. The followers, the Varnashrama denotes the followers of the Vedas. Those who accept the human society in 8 divisions of Varna and Ashrama. There are 4 divisions of society and 4 divisions of spiritual life. Varna and Ashrama. See again, the word Ashrama, Prabhupada says, the divisions of spiritual life. Ashrama means spiritual life. Very interesting. Need to know. Because there is a Brahmachari Ashram, Grahastha Ashram, Vanaprastha Ashram and Sannyas Ashram. What are these? These are the stages of spiritual life, or the place where you can make progress in spiritual life. That is Ashram. And this is called Varnashrama. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita, these divisions are everywhere because they are created by God. They are everywhere. It's not particularly restricted in the India. It is throughout the world. These 4 categories are there. The division of society are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. So now Brahmanas refers to the very intelligent class of a man. Those who know what is Brahman. So people may think that how is it possible in Greece there were Brahmanas? By this definition there were also Brahmanas. The Brahmana means the intelligent class of a people who knows about Brahman. It's not that Jati Gosai or by birth someone is Brahmana. No. The person who knows about Brahman is Brahmana. And that must be intelligent class only they can know. Similarly, the Kshatriyas, the administrator group, and are the next intelligent class of a man. Then the Vaishyas, the mercantile group. These natural classifications are found everywhere. This is the Vedic principle and we accept it. See, that's why you can preach all around. Otherwise, you can't. Why ISKCON is spreading throughout the world? Can you understand this? Because we are not differentiating people from their birth. Because if you follow Varnashrama system, then Varnashrama, as per the description of the Lord, is based on your activities, your karma, not by birth. For instance, Vedic principles are accepted as an axiomatic truth, for there cannot be any mistake. That is acceptance. For instance, in India, cow dung is accepted as a pure, and yet cow dung is the stool of an animal. In one place you will find the Vedic injunction that if you touch stool, you have to take a bath immediately. But in other places, it is said that the stool of cow is pure. If you smear cow dung in an impure place, that place becomes pure. With our ordinary sense, we can argue this is contradictory. Actually, it is contradictory from the ordinary point of view. But it is not false. It is fact. In Calcutta, a very prominent scientist and a doctor analyzed cow dung and found that it contains all antiseptic properties. This is what scientific, but what Veda says, that can't be proved every time with the modern science, because the whole science system is based on what? Our material sense perception. And we are?
Spiritual.
No. In the material world, in condition stage, our condition is?
Perfect.
Imperfect. So whatever we gain through this sensory objects or sensory perception, we believe in that. But Vedic knowledge you can't understand through your external senses or sense perception. In India, if one person tells another, you must do this, the other party says, what do you mean? Is this a Vedic injunction? That I have to follow you without any argument? That means you should not or you must not argue for accepting the Vedic injunctions. That need to be understood. The Vedic injunctions cannot be interpreted. But ultimately, if you carefully study why these injunctions are there, you will find that they are all correct. So anything that needs to be clarified up till now?
Can you read this, can you clarify the last paragraph? In India, if one tells another, you must do this.
See, simple thing. As our traditional way goes. If someone puts something forward as his own point of view, then generally what they say? Hey, ये क्या वेद वाक्य है क्या? तू बोल रहा है मैं सुन लो इसको, हाँ? It's not a Vedic injunction that I should follow as it is. That means the Vedic injunction must be followed as it is, without any arguments. Why? Then Prabhupada writes, the Vedic injunction cannot be interpreted. But ultimately, if you carefully study why these injunctions are there, you will find that they are all correct. See, this fasting thing, as Vedic scripture says, and the Karma Kanda part of Veda says that Ekadashi you should fast. Most of people, they do follow. Because there are two kinds of people. One who follows the Vedas as it is, who are civilized, and there are uncivilized, who doesn't follow, they don't bother about it. But now medically it is proved that you should fast on Ekadashi, because that particular day the position of moon is in such a way that it directly affects on your digestion. If you eat too much that day, you have to suffer for next 15 days. So better to fast on day. If you fast on day, you will be energetic for next 15 days. After interpretation, they have proved that it is necessary. But for us, we don't have to do that. See, even these Westerners, their ancestors were staying in a cave and killing animals with the stone. Those time, our ancestors, they were great rishis and munis. They sat and they wrote down all these things for us. So, but in modern way or modern days, people, they want to establish everything, try to understand everything through scientific perception, which is depend on our imperfect senses. So what you are going to understand? And that's why the, like a laws of physics laws, they are always keep changing. First, second, third, now there is a new addition for that. What is this? Science means which is proved. Then why there are changes? If once proved, you are just discarding that, you are coming up with some new idea. This is what science. Science means which has a hypothesis to prove that there are practicals, and you come up to some derivations or conclusions. And the real science is Vedic science, because it has everything, and which is based on the transcendental judgments and experiences by the liberated souls, not by conditioned souls. And that's why this knowledge makes transformation in your heart, just not information in your brain. The modern knowledge is just collection of information, collection of data, processing that data, nothing else. And you computer guys, you must be knowing that. If you are too much with this artificial intelligence, your natural sense of acceptance, anything or minute details or fine things, goes away. Does it happen?
Yes.
So what to do with that now?
Dependency increases.
On?
On what are the technology we are using? Earlier we used to remember 10 to 15 phone numbers, and now it's very tough to remember 4, 5 phone numbers also.
If even our wife's number, sometimes we don't remember.
Yes.
It happens with me, Paul. I don't want to tell about others. It happens with me. Because we are so much dependent on the artificial things. And our, adherence power, we are losing it now. Gradually, we are not able to adhere to a few things. Sometimes, like in our childhood, whatever we have studied, it touched to our heart, that you may remember. But whatever studies, like what you have studied in your graduation, do you remember anything now?
No. I remember something.
At the age of 75, I remember something, what you have studied in graduation. For me, if I wrote an exam and came out, that subject is finished for me. I can't remember of that. Because we study only exam oriented, because we know it is not going to be useful in the life. In my colleges, I used to have an argument with our professor. What the use of all these things, the norms, these rules and regulations you are teaching us in the college? But in the practical life, nobody follows it. Nobody cares about that. Out of a 100 out of 2 or 3% people, they really use what they have studied. And others? Very rarely. And sometimes we forget also. Nowadays, if you want to take her studies, it stops it away. Because what we study in our engineering, now they are at the 9th or 8th grade, they are learning all that. So our dependency on the artificial intelligence increases so much that natural way of gathering things we have forgotten. That day we had a discussion. That day we had a discussion regarding that, what that Sahasra? That person who can answer the questions. Sahasravadani, Shatavadani, Dashavadani, Ashtavadani. Ashtavadani. Do you know this word Ashtavadani means? See, in previous days, people used to have such a sharp memory. Even right now also, if you go on YouTube, you will find out that personalities. Like one person will be there in midst of your congregation or gathering, and randomly people will ask him question from different angles, from different corners, and this person, he will remember who has asked what, and he will answer that question serial wise. Like one randomly has asked from this corner, then this, then this, then this, and he will answer all of them. That means he knows what question is asked, what was the question, what is the answer for that, and who has asked after whom. and he will answer that question accordingly. So Ashtavadhani means from eight direction people are asking and he is answering their questions. Shatavadhani means amongst the 100 people, the 100 people they are asking question and he are answering them in their sequence. That was the memory. But nowadays what's happening? Come.
You have any more?
I'll take
it.
Now sit, we will sit down. So, our senses has become so imperfect and we are depending upon another imperfect things. And we are trying through that process to understand the absolute truth of the Vedic literature. Are we going to understand that? No. Then what is the way? That's what Prabhupada is explaining it now. So we are on the page number 4. The Vedas are not compilation of a human knowledge. Vedic knowledge comes from the spiritual world, from Lord Krishna. Another name of the Vedas is Shruti. Shruti refers to that knowledge which is acquired by hearing. It is not experimental knowledge. Shruti is considered to be like a mother. We take so much knowledge from our mother. For example, if you want to know who your father is, who can answer you? Your mother. If the mother says, here is your father, you have to accept it. It is not possible to experiment to find out whether he is your father. Otherwise, people will go and get done a DNA test for the whole humanity to find out who is my father. Similarly, if you want to know something beyond your experience, beyond your experimental knowledge, beyond the activities of the senses, then you have to accept the Vedas. There is no question of experimenting. It has already been experimented. It is already settled. The virgin of mother, for instance, has to be accepted as a truth. There is no other way. Is that clear? The Vedas are considered to be the mother and Brahma is called the grandfather, the forefather, because he was the first to be instructed in the Vedic knowledge. In the beginning, the first living creature was Brahma. He received this Vedic knowledge and imparted it to Narada and other disciples and sons. And they also distributed it to their disciples. In this way, the Vedic knowledge comes down by disciplic succession. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that Vedic knowledge is understood in this way. Anybody knows this shloka? Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo viduhu. See, why I am taking this Ishopanishad, actually, it's the gist of all the Upanishads and it proves why there is a person whom we should accept as a controller. There is no light that controls, but there is a person who is controlling everything. And if one understands this, the who is controller, it never directly mentions about Krishna that he is a controller, but it clearly gives idea about there is a person. It's not that some unknown energy or something impersonal that controls everything. But it clearly says there is a person who is controlling everything.
There is a spiritual master.
Sorry?
What is the role of our spiritual master in this? Mm-hmm.
He connects us with the parampara. When you accept a spiritual master, you are accepting the teachings of that parampara.
But
So sometimes I heard the Vedas are considered like mother and spiritual master is considered like a father. So when we take the time of initiation or something, so maybe Prabhu might ask me that question.
No, his question was, what is the role of spiritual master in this accepting Vedic knowledge? Because as here it is explained that this Vedic knowledge comes down by disciplic succession. So if you want to be in that line or you want to understand the Vedic knowledge, then you have to accept a disciplic succession. See, in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it is clearly explained about the creation of this material world, and how this knowledge first time imparted to Brahma. Tene Brahma Ruda Adi Kavaye Muyanti Yata Surya. This knowledge was...
Is revealed to the Lord Brahma in his Kavaya.
Tene Brahma Ruda Adi Kavaye. It was enlightened in the heart of Brahma. So Brahma has not collected this knowledge through his sensory perception. Try to understand this. So Vedic knowledge is never understood by your own intelligence. It should be accepted as it is through disciplic succession. Is that clear? If it is clear, then the future things what we are going to study, you are going to understand. Otherwise, Sanshayatma. You will have only doubts in your heart. And Sanshayatma Vinashyati Naham Loke Paralokesh. Not only here, but there also he is fell. So we need to understand that. Okay? If you make an experimental endeavor, you come to the same conclusion. But just to save time, you should accept. If you want to know who your father is, and if you accept your mother as the authority, then whatever she says can be accepted without argument. There are three kinds of evidences. See, these are the three things. Generally, we use it in this material world to gather a knowledge. So our question will be based on this. You need to make your notes because your gradation will be on that. Because you have to appear for exam, you will get the certification. So you need to make your notes. It has some marks for that. So first thing, that is four defects. Second thing we have studied about? Who are we actually? We are the followers of Varnashrama. And Varnashrama means the followers of Vedas. So we are not Hindus. That is foreign term which has superimposed on the people who follow us Varnashrama. Then what is Varnashrama throughout the world? It is present throughout the world. And then what are the categories and how they are explained? Administrators. So all over the world this categorization or classification is there. Are you agree with this? Okay. Now how to understand these Vedas? From disciplic succession. Or the best answer is by following the authority. Now, what are the three ways to accept it? Try to understand it. Pramanas, evidences. One is Pratyaksha, Anuman and Shabda. Pratyaksha means direct evidence. And direct evidence is not very good because our senses are not perfect. Do you believe this?
Yes.
Any example for this?
light goes off, we can't see the color.
Okay. Second?
When we see, actually the size of sun is very big, but when we see from here, we feel very small. When we see some aeroplane or something.
Like a big heavy truck is moving from some distance. And you can see that truck and this much size of your finger. That means that truck is of this size? No. When you take it your hand from the cold water and put it into the hot water, you don't feel that hot immediately. Why? Because body has its own relation with the temperature. That samana vayu in the body, it always try to balance your bodily temperature with the outside temperature. If it is disturbed, then you feel like a cold or you feel like a hot. So some yogis who has balanced this samana vayu, they can sit naked in the Himalayas, surrounded by the ice. So, pratyaksha praman is not a genuine thing through which you can understand the things as it is. And now most of the things are accepted through pratyaksha praman only. Bap dako nahi to shraddha kar. Show me your father, otherwise get dandi shraddha. But that way you will not understand the Vedic knowledge. We are seeing the sun daily and it appears to us just like a small disk. But it is actually far, far larger than many planets. Of what value is this seeing? Therefore, we have to read books, then we can understand about the sun. So direct experience is not perfect. Then there is a anumana, that is inductive knowledge. The first is pratyaksha praman, that is direct evidence. Second one is anumana, inductive knowledge. It may be like this, hypothesis. For instance, Darwin's theory say, it may be like this, it may be like that, but that is not a science. There are no assumptions in science. Science means hypothesis, experiment and conclusion. No assumptions at all. But if you receive the knowledge, sorry, that is a suggestion that it is also not perfect. But if you receive the knowledge from the authoritative sources, that is perfect. If you receive a program guide from the radio station authorities, you accept it. You don't deny it. You don't have to make an experiment because it is received from the authoritative sources. Vedic knowledge is called Shabda Praman. Another name is Shruti. Shruti means that this knowledge has to be received simply by oral reception. What's the way of accepting Vedic knowledge? Through oral reception. The Vedas instructs that in order to understand transcendental knowledge, we have to hear from the authority. Transcendental knowledge is a knowledge from beyond this universe. That's why it is known as a transcendental, which is beyond this universe. Within this universe is material knowledge, and beyond this universe is a transcendental knowledge. We cannot even go to the end of the universe. So how can we go to the spiritual world? Thus, to acquire full knowledge is impossible. So the question is, why it is impossible to acquire the full knowledge?
Because our senses are limited. material, and the way it is mentioned, it is beyond the material world, so your senses cannot reach that.
Exactly. Because in this material world itself, the material knowledge you can't get as it is through your material senses. And that we have seen, the size of sun or the truck or maybe heat and cold sensation that we get. There is a spiritual sky, there is another nature which is beyond manifestation and non-manifestation. But how will you know that there is a sky where the planets and inhabitants are eternal? All this knowledge is there, but how will you make experiment? It is not possible. Therefore, you have to take the assistance of the Vedas. This is called Vedic knowledge. In our Krishna conscious movement, we are accepting the knowledge from the highest authority. And who is that authority?
Krishna.
Krishna is accepted as the highest authority by all classes of men. In the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna, he himself says, and he says, it's not my opinion, but Asito Devalo Vyasaha Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. Oh my Lord, it's not me only, but the great sages like Asita, Devala and Vyasa, they also said the same thing. And not only they, but you also mentioned that. That's why we have to accept it. Not any Tom, Dick, Harry has said, that's why we have to accept. No, but authority, they have said. Because this Asita, Devala and Vyasa, they are the rishis for Shruti Mantras. They have empowered the Vedic mantras. They are the rishis to chant that mantra. They have created sutras. They have given us different scripture which are needed to purify our existence in this material world. And these people, they have accepted Krishna as the highest authority. I am speaking first of the two classes of a transcendentalist. One class of a transcendentalist is called impersonalistic, that is Mayavadis. So who are the Mayavadis? Avyaktavadis, not necessarily Shankaracharya philosophy. Whoever accept the Avyakta or Lord does not have form, these people are called as impersonalists. Even this, Mohammedans, they come under this slogan only because they don't accept the form of the Lord. They are also impersonalists. They are generally known as Vedantis. So the who follow Avyaktavadis, mostly from Shankarites, they are known as a Vedantist from Shankara cult. And these Vedantists are led by Shankaracharya. And there are another class of a transcendentalist called Vaishnavas, like Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnuswami. So who are these? Who are these Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya and Vishnuswami? They are not the founders actually.
Propounders.
They are the acharyas for the age of a Kali for this particular sampradaya. Vishnuswami for Rudra sampradaya. Shripad Ramanujacharya for Shri sampradaya. And Shripad Madhvacharya for Brahma Sampradaya. And there is one more, Nimbarka Acharya for Kumara Sampradaya. B- both the Shankara Sampradaya and the Vaishnava Sampradaya have accepted Krishna as the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. Generally, few Mayavadis, they don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of a Godhead. But whoever follows Shankaracharya, underline, whoever follows Sripad Shankaracharya, genuinely, they accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of a God. See, most of the songs like Jagannath Ashtakam, Pandurang Ashtakam, Achyuta Ashtakam, Krishna Ashtakam, all these songs are written by Sripad Shankaracharya, where he explained the beautiful form of Lord Krishna. There is one book called Prabodha Sudhakar, which explains that how all the attributes which are meant for Avyakta Brahma, how they contribute to Lord Krishna. That Prabodha Sudhakar book is very, very wonderful actually. And whoever studies Shankara philosophy genuinely and tries to understand that, then that really makes a difference. That gives you a clear idea about the personality of a Godhead. How God is a person, not only a light or energy. Shankaracharya is supposed to be an impersonalist who preached impersonalism, impersonal Brahman. But it is fact that he is a covered personalist. In his commentary on a Bhagavad Gita, he wrote, Narayana Paro Avyakta. Narayana, the Supreme Personality of a Godhead, is beyond this cosmic manifestation.
So Shankaracharya was not completely teaching impersonalism.
Prabhupada says he is a covered personalist. And then again he confirmed that Supreme Personality of a Godhead, Narayana, is a Krishna. He has come as the son of Devaki and Vasudev. Anybody knows this shloka? How many of you have read Bhagavad Gita? From first to last page?
Yes.
Huh? Have you come across this quote?
Yeah, but I don't remember.
That is Jagatguru. But where exactly he mentions that he is the Supreme Person. Ekam Devo Devaki Putra Eva. There is only one person whom we should worship, and that is Devaki Putra. Eko Shastra
Devaki Putra Eva. Sorry, Ekam Shastram
Devaki Putra Gita.
Eko Devaki.
He is the only one person who can be accepted as a Purushottama, or the person whom we should worship. His song is considered as a Shastra. Namani, Eko Mantrastaste Namani Yani. There is only one mantra, and that is his holy name. Karmapi Ekam Tasya Devasya Seva. And what we have to do? To worship him. To adore him, to render service to him. That's what the last verse of Gita Mahatmya, written by Sripad Shankaracharya. So now you tell me whether Shankaracharya is impersonalist or personalist.
Why was the misleading? Why everybody is misled?
Oh.
Shankaracharya's followers.
Whoever want to do it, so he did it for them. Somebody has to take care of someone. Lord's creation is perfect. And he says, ye yadha mam prapadyante. Few people, they would like to approach Lord in that way. So Lord has provided them, okay, without Acharya nothing happens. So take here Shankara, take his shelter, come to me. Vedic knowledge you can't understand without Guru Parampara. Vedic, whether it's a personal philosophy or impersonal philosophy, you need to accept a Guru. There is no way to understand him. Otherwise somebody says that self-declared Guru. He says that no need to accept anyone as a Guru. Why should I accept you? There is one person on the media too much now. He claims that there is no need to have a Guru, no need to do this, no need to do that. But why we should follow you? And they consider him as a
Guru. So this shloka is a Gita shloka or Gita
Mahatma? Gita
Mahatma. It's Gita Mahatma shloka, and Prabhupada quotes it in the introduction of Bhagavad Gita. He ends up with this verses, all eight verses given by Shankaracharya, which explains about the glory of Bhagavad Gita. So coming back to the pyar, there is no doubt about it. Our source of knowledge in Krishna consciousness is the Bhagavad Gita. See, this Prabhupada's lecture is clarifying so many things. Till date, I was also not clear what we are actually. Are we Hindus? What we should call ourselves as a Sanatan Dharmi or what? Today it got clear for me. Prabhupada clearly says, we are Varnashrama, the followers of Vedas. And Vedas means the classification of human society in four ashramas and four varnas. It is classified in eight categories: social and spiritual life. See, very clearly Prabhupada has given this thing. Nobody has done it. He clearly mentions what is what. So what is ashrama? Fill in the blanks.
Spiritual life.
There is no doubt about it. Our source of knowledge in Krishna consciousness is Bhagavad Gita. So our source of knowledge is what? In Krishna consciousness? Which comes directly from Krishna. Ya swayam padmanabhasya mukha padmat vinit srataha. That's what Shankaracharya says. From where it has come? The Lord Padmanabh. So in the scripture they says that Lord Vishnu is Padmanabh. From his nabi the kamala comes, on which Brahma manifests, and then the whole creation takes place. But who is Padmanabh? Krishna. Ya swayam padmanavasya mukha padmad vinisvataha. This Bhagavad Gita has manifested from the mouth of
Krishna.
Padmanabh, that is Krishna. We have published Bhagavad Gita as it is because we accept Krishna as he is speaking without any interpretation. There are people who give their commentary. As Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabho Matta Sarva Pravartate. They said there is a something in the Krishna. Not Krishna. There is something in the Krishna which is unmanifested, manifests the things, and he is the controller. And that's why Krishna says, come to me. Ma Manusmar. What is that? Manmana Bhavamad Bhakto Madhyajimam Namaskuru. There is something in Krishna's mind that you have to worship. Krishna says that man mana means you have to mind it in his mind. You read, there are so many people, they have given their commentaries on Bhagavad Gita. And people, they read it. You ask them what you have read. Oh, no, Swami just said excellent, you know. But what? No, no, it is excellent. Why? I am not understanding it. I have seen most of the people. Like last Sunday, I asked 2-3 people, how was lecture? Prabhu, excellent, you know. Very nice. I said, what he said, but what was the theme? No, no, it was really good, Prabhu, you know. But what? So knowledge is not just for the circus of our mind, or it is not just for gathering information. Vedic knowledge is meant for transformation of your heart. And that's why it needs to acquire from the authority. Because authority knows what should be given and when. I have studied PhD in mathematics. So, if I have to teach like a first grade or third grade child, if I think that I know this, so let me also tell him. And if I start with him like a 12th grade in mathematics, is he going to understand?
Yeah.
Now, who is fool? That boy or the teacher?
Teacher.
Then you should know whom and what and when should be given. And that happens when you get the knowledge from the authority in disciplic succession with a maturity. That's most important. That is Vedic knowledge. Since the Vedic knowledge is pure, we accept it. Whatever Krishna says, we accept. This is Krishna consciousness. See, it's not complicated. It's very simple. What is Krishna consciousness? Just accept whatever Krishna has said without any arguments, without banging your head. But we are brought up in such an environment that we want to bang our head. That's true. Why? Which? What? For what? For what? That's the nature of mind. Because any easy thing, mind does not want to accept it. Hey, it should not be that easy, man. That's the nature of mind. It's so simple. Krishna says, man mana bhava mad bhakto. We think that, why should I become his devotee? Why not Shiva? Why not Lakshmi? Are you are reading Bhagavad Gita, so follow the Bhagavad Gita. Why you have to follow the other things? You have come to this stage of reading Bhagavad Gita, means at least you have elevated from somewhere to come to that stage. Otherwise, you will not come and touch the Bhagavad Gita. As explained in Bhavishyottara Puran, if someone follows the worship of Ganesha for 21 lifetimes, then he comes to the stage of worshipping Devi, Durga. If he does it for the 7 lifetimes, then he comes to the stage of worshipping Lord Shiva. When you worship Lord Shiva for 11 lifetimes, then you come to the stage of worshipping, Surya Narayana. When you worship Lord Surya for 7 lifetimes, then you come to stage of worshipping Lord Shiva. And when you worship Lord Shiva for 11 times lifetimes, then you come to the stage of worshipping Lord Vishnu. So when you have inclination toward accepting Vishnu as the Supreme, then you have crossed all these things. Are you getting? In the last words of the 8th chapter, Lord Himself says that Vedeshu Adneshu Daneshu Tapaseshu Yat Punya Padam Pradesha Tateva. The whatever pious activities you get by performing the Vedic sacrifices, austerities, karmas. Already you have got it, that's why you are here to perform the bhakti. Otherwise you will not come to this stage. That's why Krishna consciousness, even though it is for everyone, but everyone is not qualified to accept that. Are you getting my point? What I'm saying?
Does the mercy of devotees and spiritual master act as catalyst?
That becomes a catalyst. But you need to have a causeless mercy of the Lord to get the association of devotees. Otherwise you won't get. Lord, He Himself says that Esham Tvandagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana Te Dvandva Nirmukta Bhajate Mam Ananya Bhag. When you are going to surrender yourself to the Lord, Esham Tu Antagatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmana. When you become pious and you are bereft of Papa, then only you are going to get the devotion service to the Lord. So as you said, if there is a causeless mercy of a pure devotee, and we have an example, Narad ji went to Ratnakar. That is causeless mercy. Ratnakar does not have any qualification. He was not performing any austerities, or he was not performing any vratas so that he can get the association of devotee and then he can become a devotee. He never had that thing in his mind. But it was causeless mercy of Narada. He went there and he delivered him. So this is example of catalyst. There the spiritual master works as a catalyst to purify you and immediately give you devotion. Otherwise the pattern is, as Lord says, Esham tu antagatam papam jananam punya karmanam. You have to do the pious activities and get rid of your sinful activities, become punyavan, and then come to take the devotional service. Bhajate mam ananya bhag. Bahuta sukrutanchi zodi mazaga vitthala avadi. Bahuta sukrutanchi zodi. When you have tremendous pious activities in that you have done in previous life, then it is possible to come and take the devotional service or get the attachment towards the service of Lord. So you people are not common people. Don't compare yourself with the common mass of a people. You are unique and special because you are inclined to take devotional service. Are you agree with me?
Yes.
I have a question.
Rome? Man, you are really special, so. Yes.
Okay, so we have good Sukriti and we are taking up devotion service in this lifetime, right? And but in this lifetime itself, unknowingly, I know definitely I have been, when I was young or growing up, being rude or like those kind. Then I shouldn't have done that at all if I have Sukriti and coming into this line.
See, everyone has his prarabdha. As you got this body, few things has come along with this body. Like if you buy a raincoat, when you have to put that raincoat? When there is a rainy season. If you put it in the summer, what will happen? There will be rain inside. So, you should know, when I got something, it has some minus and plus, both the points. To know them and use them for our ultimate benefit, for that you need a spiritual master. That's the role of spiritual master in our life. Because few things we don't know. That what good qualities I have and what are the bad things that I am having. Who can tell me? Only a third person. So, spiritual master is there to guide you at each and every stage of your life to make a progress in Krishna consciousness. It's not by my own choice. Your own choice, then you will be here in this world. Oh, if I would have known that, I would have not done that. Gone is gone. Gate shokona kartavyam. No need of thinking what has happened and what suppose, what would have happened. Forget about that. Be in the present. Kriyamana karma. What I am doing now, That makes a lot of difference. We have come along with certain things. But by Lord's mercy, we have got a free will through which we got a chance to change our prarabdha with the kriyaman karma, with the present activities, and which can show us a proper path to go ahead. Okay? So anything else that need to be discussed? Are you able to follow better? Not getting bored?
No.
Little bit? Yes. Be honest. If you are really bored,
take
say
it.
Yes, Raman.
So it's like
good?
It's like we're wearing Maya. That's the raincoat.
Ah, wearing Maya. That's good. So, should we go ahead?
Yes.
Okay. If you accept the right authority or source of knowledge, then you save much time. See now, why one should accept the Shabda Praman? The most important thing that has Prabhupada explained, that to save much time. Because we have very short life. In the age of a Kali, there is one shloka in Srimad Bhagavatam which explains that prayena alpayushah sabhya galau asmin yuge janaha. Prayena alpayushah. Almost everyone has a short life in this age of a Kali. So which was not possible to happen in the Satyuga when people had 1 lakh year or 100,000 years of a life. In those days also it was not possible for them to attain the Lord. Then how it is possible to attain their Lordship in this such a short span of a life? Just calculate. Consider. If somebody has 100 years, then he comes in the Guinness Book of World Record. But now, or all average, we can consider the lifespan is? We have a person of 70 years. Huh?
Our generation.
Consider 70, okay. So in that 70 also, 50% has gone already in sleep. So what is remaining? 35 years. Among the 35 years, like consider 2 hours a day for taking bath and all other miscellaneous activities, brushing your teeth, taking bath, and natural call and everything. So 2 hours a day, how much it is?
And sleeping.
Almost another 8 years of a life. Or, so cut down from the 35. How much is there?
27.
Among that 27, 25 years of our life we waste in studies. Consider 6 hours a day. So another 12 years. How much is there now? 15. Among the 15, like a 3 time a day.
6 hours.
So she mentioned that half time is gone.
35 years has gone. So for this?
2 hours.
Okay.
3 times 2 hours.
Means another 8 years. What is there now?
7 years.
7 years. And that 7 years in search of job. So where is the time for thinking about Lord? Is there? See, Shankaracharya, 1200 years back, he wrote it down. Remember this thing. Balyasthavata krida sakta. In my childhood, I was attached to play. Tarunavastha taruni asakta. Arey, that thing forgot. At the young age, one gets allured by the opposite sex. Vriddhavastha chinta magno. What is Vriddhavastha now? What is the definition of old age?
Retirement and
enjoy here. In general, what is mean by Vriddhavastha? What is mean by old age?
Getting a disease and dying.
Not able to walk properly.
Well, generally getting...
Old age means few hours before death. So that old age may be at the age of 15 also, maybe at the age of 22 also. The few hours before your death, that is old age. So, Vriddhavastha Chinta Magno. When you grow old, the whole time goes in thinking. Not Chintana, it is Chinta. There is a small difference in chitta and chinta. Difference of one dot. Huh? Chinta leads to chitta. And chintan leads to chaitanya. That is eternity. So, we should be very careful. The one quality that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Vaishnava means avyartha kalatvam. The person who always values the time. He never wastes his time. That is what Vaishnava means. Because Ayushaha kshana ekopi Swarna koti bhir na labhyate. This is what Chanakya says in Niti Shastra. If you spend millions of dollars also, you are not going to get back a single second of your life. Are you?
No.
So Vaishnava, he really cares and values the time. Because if I have lost 1 second without thinking Krishna, it's a big loss for me. And that's why it's always better to accept the authority and understand the Vedic scripture rather than beating around the bush. When you want to understand through your sensory perception by pratyaksha, or by inductive knowledge, you are not going to understand that. So better is to understand from authority. That's the easiest way to get the pure transcendental knowledge. Third is Shabda Praman, accepting the authority or spiritual master in proper disciplic succession. That's the best way to acquire the original knowledge, which is called as Vedas. Okay? See, this one lecture of Prabhupada, actually that has changed my life. I was too much into Maya. But when I read this first lecture of Prabhupada, that has changed my whole life. From the impersonalist, I became a personalist. This one lecture itself. Because so many things, very bluntly, but as a fact and truth, with authority, Prabhupada has mentioned. He is not lenient. He is not compromising with the philosophy. This lecture was given in 1969. Just the ISKCON society was formed and he was giving this lecture. See the intensity, see the clarity of thought, and he was not at all compromising anything. His godbrothers, they went to London. They were sannyasis. They were sent by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But they compromised things. They said, we can't give them direct Krishna consciousness, because these people may go away. But here, Prabhupada straightforwardly is giving. To whom? The people who does not know anything about Vedic philosophy. He is making them understand what is Vedas. Generally, people have their own consideration about Vedas. Vedas mean this, Vedas mean that. But Vedas mean original knowledge. Original knowledge which comes from Krishna. Who is Krishna? Is the personality of a Godhead. He is a person. In first slot, he is giving them this. Because he knows nobody has a time. This is the right time to give me them this Krishna consciousness. If they are fortunate, they will take it. Otherwise, they have their own way to go. Does it make sense? Next, you accept it as a fact that man is a mortal. If you want to research to find out whether man is a mortal, you have to study each and every man. And you may come to think that there may be some man who is not dying, but you have not seen him yet. So in this way, your research will never be finished. The word research itself is a foolish thing. Research. It's already searched. Why you have to research it? Redoing the work. So, in this way, your research will never be finished. In Sanskrit, this process is called Aroha, the ascending process. If you want to attain knowledge by any personal endeavor, by exercising your imperfect senses, you will never come to the right conclusion. That is not possible. So there is an aroha and avaroha, ascending and descending. So what is the best way to accept knowledge?
Avaroha, descending.
Huh?
Descending.
Which is known as a avaroha. See, try to remember this Sanskrit terminologies. Because English is not a proper language to make it understand. Okay? So, make this point, sir. I'm going to ask questions on this. It has a lot of things actually, like define terminologies. Huh? So, what is this? Aroha?
Aroha.
What is Aroha?
Ascending process.
Ascending or descending?
Ascending.
What it means?
Experimental knowledge.
Huh?
Try to know something with our
by your own endeavors. There is a statement in Brahma Samhita, just ride on the airplane which runs at the speed of mind. Our material airplanes can run 2000 miles per hour. But what is the speed of mind? Tanishka, what is the speed of mind?
10,000 miles per hour. Only for demigods.
Can't bound it. Or can't measure it. Because Tanishka may be right now here, but her mind has may have gone to Nagpur for something and may have come back. With a fraction of moment, mind has gone somewhere else. And again it has come back from that also. So what's the speed?
Materially, we cannot measure.
It's
unfathomable for us. Immeasurable. When you glorify Hanumanji, today is his appearance day. How you say, how you pray him? Manojavam maruta tulyavegam jatendriyam buddhimatam varashtam vatatmaja vanarvita mukham shri ramadutam sharanam. We should pray to him today. By his mercy we can. Because today is really glorious day that we have started our Bhakti Shastri course. By his mercy at least we can get this knowledge properly.
How many days is this course? I only found out this afternoon. Somebody told me.
You are sitting at home, you immediately think of India, say 10,000 miles away, and at once it is in your home. Your mind has gone there. The mind speed is so swift. Therefore it is stated, if you travel at the speed of millions of years, you will find that spiritual sky is unlimited. It is not impossible even to approach it. Therefore, the Vedic injunction is that one must approach the world, compulsory is used. A bona fide spiritual master, a guru. And what is the qualification of spiritual master? He is one who has rightly heard the Vedic message from the right source, and he must practically be firmly established in Brahman. These are the two qualities he must have. Otherwise, he is not bona fide. See, the whole disciple course has finished here. Prabhupada has, in two sentences, he has finished that guru disciple course. If you understand this, you are qualified to take any session. Who is spiritual master? What is his qualification?
Must practice firmly established.
Firmly established in Brahman means not that Brahman.
Which Brahman?
The light.
Huh?
No, I'm making sure that what I'm reading is what I'm reading right.
Yeah. Who would like to give answer for this question?
We should have the knowledge of Vedas.
See, the most important thing Prabhupada has said, that one who has rightly heard, that means he should be a good disciple of his spiritual master, who has heard rightly from a Vedic authority. Who is good disciple can become a good spiritual master. Established in Brahman means he has understood the absolute truth. He is on that platform where he sees everyone as a soul. He is not on the bodily platform, which is known as a videha sthiti. Videha means not this body.
I am the soul. I am the soul, that level.
Sorry?
Janak Maharaj is said.
Haan, videha. It's too much?
No.
Or should we continue?
Continue.
Huh?
It's not too much.
Let's have a break for 5 minutes.
Prabhu, we also hear some sort of Samit Panay Ishwati and Raman Ishwati. Is it the same?
You can get a walk around and against it. If you want to go drink water and come back.
Actually, no. I need some water.